Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Wednesday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Hitting. I have not seen your baseball, Jay. Busy one today. Wow. In the flesh, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm better.
What do you put in your margaritas?
Well, must have done something.
Sweet God.
Because had an effect on my back. I've been locked up since like Saturday evening. Like, I could hardly walk. And I finally went and saw a chiropractor yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's bad for me to have to go see a chiropractor because I'm like to work it out myself and I'm cheap. So
I was going to say you're selective.
Mm-hmm. But no, so I'm actually feeling better. I kind of had like an S-curve to me. Yeah, it was that bad. And I'm finally feeling better. So
is this related to the golf swing at all? Because I remember last maybe spring or summer complaints about the back.
Oh, yeah. I've had back issues for a while. No, I tried playing golf on Sunday, and I tried, and I didn't finish because – it was bad.
Is that miserable for you?
Oh, yeah.
For you to, like, say, I'm done?
Mm-hmm. No, I tried. I would work it out. But, the last few holes, I just kind of, okay, I'm done. Yeah, so I'm feeling better, though. I'm moving, getting around. But, yeah, those margaritas are tasty, aren't they?
Yeah. So long and short of it is I stalked Jay, and he was on, you know, daddy duty, and I just – eventually, he answered his front door, and I kept ringing and ringing and ringing. He said, make me one of your famous margaritas. So long and short of it is, yeah, you and your folks, man, you're awesome. But secondly, it's powerful.
Yes. Yeah. Two of those, and you are you're greased up.
Yeah.
You are feeling really nice.
I mean, yeah, I was. It was a good time. Had by all.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
except, yeah. Except my wife. I mean, my wife had fun with you guys, but you didn't have to go home with her.
No, it was good.
So we are loaded up. Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer, HaleVarsity.com and magazine with us in 15 minutes. He's going to be our selection committee chair when it comes to the Hale Varsity bracket, the 64 Huskers. Babbers will help put some authority on it. Because he knows all, and I mean that sincerely with this. Aaron Sorensen will get you a big old recruiting update when it comes to spring game 2017. That's in an hour and 15 minutes. We'll figure out some reasons why Nebraska can make a run in the Big Ten. I know football's on hiatus. We can even get into some basketball, too. But you're welcome to join us. Thanks so much for your feedback and interest with the Husker field of 64, be it social media or on HaleVarsity.com on the message boards. You can join us, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. Reminder, Yowie's tomorrow, Yowie's Friday for March to Prize Madness, 3 to 6. Happy hour, shockingly enough, is 3 to 6. And don't forget also the 125K money ball comes up at 5 o'clock for you. Your chance at $1,000. When you hear that keyword around 5, text that keyword to 77000. That's some housekeeping. I've rambled long enough. We'll get to the bracket, but do play and good luck to you with the 125K money ball with ESPN. And we want to see you at Yowie's the next couple of days for the Sweet 16. Sweet 16 in the Haymarket 8th and Q at Yowie's. Okay, Bird, you have seen the bracket, and your initial reaction is what? You're on there.
Right. I was very – thank you. I thought I'd be more of like a play-in game or NIT, like maybe a one seed in NIT.
We got it. We may do I'm not suggesting you go to the play-in round, but we may have some play-in. We may expand the field from 64 Huskers to 68.
Yeah. I mean, can I get in that 11-11 seed play-in game, you know?
Okay.
Okay.
But who would you like to play? If we're
as
talking
other D linemen?
Yeah.
Because who do you have again?
He left off Chad Kelce. I brought him up. Chris Kelce.
Chris Kelce, Kyle VandenBosch.
Who? Give me Kelce. I'll go against
you
Kelce.
You and Kelce?
Yeah.
You guys are both kind of like just.
I'll go against Kelce. I don't want any piece of VandenBosch. He's crazy.
Okay, so we're going to get the play-in game slated. So do we with the field of 64? Do we replace you with VandenBosch?
Yes,
and then put Kelce and you in the play-in.
Sure, I mean it's probably not even fair. I mean we're judging this on college career or like college and NFL.
I spit out 64 names as quickly as
I
could.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's just
before showtime yesterday.
I mean Kelce played for 10 years. I mean, yeah, and he was.
And he played for 10 years in Buffalo.
VandenBosch was, I mean, just Pro Bowl. I mean, he's legendary. He's legendary status for how he his work ethic and how his motor was in NFL. I mean, you need to replace Bosch with me. I have no problem saying that.
Here's the other part of that is I look at VandenBosch when he was at Nebraska,
mm-hmm,
and the man played on that 99 team,
mm-hmm,
leader, but he also was on a defense that had to overcome 50 offensive fumbles.
That was the Dan Alexander.
And I like Danimal,
mm-hmm,
and Diedrich. But
biceps getting in the way there.
Right, and he popped the football.
Uh-huh.
But that team fumbled 50 times, yeah, and they finished, yeah, number 2 in the country.
They couldn't catch a pitch to save their life in the option that year.
No.
It was horrible.
Well, Crouchy just kind of tucked that bastard and ran. At what point is the option no longer an option? Other changes I may need to make, and Babcock will verify this, with the linebacker region, DeMario Williams, and also you need to have a spot for Ed Stewart.
Mm.
I should, again, run into a brick wall without a helmet because of I left Ed Stewart off the list. Now, who do I replace at the linebacker, or do they move to a play-in round? I think you got to look at Leroy 8-9-10, ATN, and Will Compton.
Mm.
Replace Leroy and Will for sure with DeMario and Ed Stewart. Mark Mumford's big time. He told the boss to screw himself before kickoff. On top of having a bunch of tackles in Nebraska and playing for Denver.
Is Zach Taylor in this one?
He is.
He's made the list. Okay.
Yeah. We have our quarterbacks.
Big 12 offensive player of the year.
No, I love Zach. Zach, yeah. Think about how bad it could have been without Zach Taylor for two years. I mean, you had good teams on offense, but you had to find a quarterback,
mm-hmm,
in 05 and 06.
What year did Gans get there? Was Gans there?
Gans was there, but he's like a sophomore.
Right.
I was going to say, who were the backups for Taylor that year?
It was like, well, you had... It was Gans. Gans was there. It was the backup as senior, but then he had like Bo Davis and Jordan Adams. But those guys were, I mean, good guys.
Was
but
Garth
not,
still there?
Garth left
was
in 04.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Does Glissman get a play-in round?
For his radio work, maybe.
He should just probably get a play-in round just because he's head of NBA operations now.
Yeah, he's director of
right.
He led a boys team to state basketball, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, and right. So, I mean, Garth has done, and we'll all be working for him in some form or fashion in the state of Nebraska in a few years. Or, hell, hey, Garth, I need a gig in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure. Okay. So, Taylor Martinez is on this list. Agree or disagree?
Oh, man.
Would you put Jamal Lord over him?
Who?
That's what I decided I would do.
How about Tommy Armstrong over either of them?
I don't know. I mean, the Taylor that was there.
I like Jerry Godowski. He had one year, but the guy was awesome.
I mean, Taylor's year was at the 09 season or 2010.
It
would
have been 2010 was his freshman
first year. I mean, that work he was doing before he injured his ankle against Missouri, that was.
It was a great season.
It was.
As a redshirt freshman.
Yes. I mean, that could have been. Now, throwing ability, but who cares? I mean, the dude could.
He legitimately. Killed secondaries, yes, I mean, when he was healthy, yeah, as a true freshman.
And then even that next year, he comes out, you know, I mean,
offense wouldn't have the problem with him. They'd put up 40 points. They'd turn the ball over a lot.
I think you have to. I know people. I mean, listen, Taylor got a lot of gruff. Tommy got a lot of gruff. But I think Taylor does. I mean, with the numbers he's put up, I mean, I think he deserves to be there. I mean, again, I know he played as a freshman. He had 4 years, but
he was here for 400 years.
Right. Right. So, I think you have to have him in there.
Okay. Okay. You are a Jamal Lord guy.
For sure.
Okay. I need to move to safety and cornerback, and I have Warfield, 7 years in the NFL, started on a national championship team, DeJuan Gross, Prince Amukamara. I don't know. I like Fabian. I know he's your guy, but I think I got to replace Fabian with Mike Minter, because you don't leave Mike Minter off this freaking list. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, Minter's good, but hey, I mean, Faye plays as a true freshman, first-round draft pick.
Yeah. Minter, all Big Eight, two national championships. You
know, okay. Tomato.
No, but I remember hearing, like, the world about Fabian Washington. True freshman's going to come in. And when it comes to wild card slash players we love, I have Rich Glover listed twice. I have him on the defensive line region. I also have him listed in the wild card region. And congratulations to Mr. Glover being the newest member of the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, him and Bob Brown, that announcement today. I need to take Glover off the list twice. Mm-hmm. And I think we need a little John Perella love. Yeah. I love John Perella off the list.
Yes. I mean, now being the D-line coach, but NFL career.
He's really good at Nebraska.
Yes. No doubt about it. I mean, that's a very fair point. I would, wild card or not, he needs to be for sure in that selection committee.
We'll get to more of the bracket. Mike Babcock is coming up. Babbers will give us some thoughts on baseball, too. Nebraska, tough one last night. 4-2 out runs. I mean, they just had so much trouble getting out of problems. Okay, if you go to the field today, it'll be empty because it's spring break. Other teams are just starting spring football. I have an audio folder for today. And I want to spend a couple of seconds here on Nick Saban. Okay?
I heard he had a nice opening day with media.
He went gangster yesterday.
Not surprised.
And then the Pirate Leach also yesterday talked about how awful dancing is, but how he was legendary at dodgeball. Similar to the dirt clod fights.
The five rules of dodgeball.
Duck. Yeah. But Saban yesterday was told or informed by us media that his offense is now ball control. And he didn't react well.
Philosophically, I don't know where you came up with, we're going to go to ball control. That's not what we do. I mean, New England Patriots threw the ball over 60-some percent of the time, which is more than we threw it. So where does that assumption come from? Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere. And the people who scream the loudest, they kind of get the attention, and we pass some rule, right, that everybody has to live with, that, or some law, and the consequences mess up a lot of other things. Do it all the time. We're doing it right now. The NCAA is doing it. We're going to change the way we can have summer camps. We can't have high school coaches working summer camps. I mean, it's the most ridiculous things that I've ever seen. But it is what it is, and whatever they do, they do. So we say we don't want third parties dealing with players. So we're not going to let the high school coach bring a guy to camp, but some third-party guy can bring him to camp now. Makes no sense at all. I mean, but all the people who have common sense, they won't say anything about it. But the people who scream the loudest will get the thing changed.
Nick, back to ball control.
It's the way it goes. The way it goes in the world, politics, just the way it goes. Same thing with you. We're going to be more conservative now in ball control offense. Where'd that come from? I never said that. Nobody in this building ever said that. So where'd you come up with that? Just, had a dream about it or what? If we'd have caught some passes in the national championship game, we had guys open, we wouldn't have had to control the ball. We'd have scored more touchdowns.
Thank you, Nick Saban. He also blasted his defense getting off the field. Maybe we should get off the field on third down. Maybe if we had an accurate quarterback, there'd be more passes completed. So that was only 90 seconds of pure gold. So Lars has been on the show 100 times. We love Lars Anderson. He'll be with us on Friday. And the press conferences are done solely to put somebody on notice or blast.
Oh, for sure.
This is the NCAA getting a stare down from Little Nicky. The summer camps, he's fought tooth and nail because he wants to keep his region his region. But now he's got a jack with some a-hole who wants compensation or recognition for bringing a kid to an Alabama camp that's a third party, i.e. your club team transition now, your 7-on-7 stuff.
Right.
Versus a high school coach that may have, I'm not saying like third party guys don't have kids' best interest in mind, but I know teachers have best kids' interest in mind, or they should. Okay. So there's just a little better reputation for me. Secondly, Saban is in fear that he'll miss out on that one. He'll get everybody else, but he'll get that one. He'll have that one difference-making recruit have a bad image of Alabama. Well, they're ball control. That means they're boring. It's going to be no fun. It isn't for me. That's why he went crazy on that. Don't label us, because someone could misinterpret it. It's not from us. It's from you. There's the method to his madness. Paranoia, man. Relax and have a cold one. Mike Babcock on the way.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. If you're out for a good time with friends or family, and you have a few drinks, someone offers you a ride home, and you say no because you think you're okay to drive. Think again, mixing alcohol and driving, never a good thing for anyone. You can take a life. You can lose yours. You can be arrested, go to jail, lose your license, pay fines and legal fees. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Welcome in Hall of Famer, historian, author, 39 years of Nebraska excellence, Mike Babcock at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, thank you for taking time. Thanks for reviewing the Hail Varsity Field of 64 Husker bracket. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I got to tell you right off the bat here, I've got about a couple of pages here where I've got names written down. I've got erased names. I got more names written down. I have no idea what 64 plus 4 play-ins would be from 1964 on. And I put together 8 from pre-64 also, so you could actually throw in 76 of these guys. And I still would have guys that I think that should be in the discussion that wouldn't be on there.
I agree. And there were some omissions that, in my haste, I left out. Ed Stewart, for one, and linebacker DeMario Williams. Let's talk quarterback, Babbers. First and foremost, do you like the list?
Yeah, you know, I like the list, Smitty, and that's part of the reason I was erasing things and marking down names here, because I was trying to coordinate what you put up there. But I've got groups of 8 for offensive line quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, defensive line, defensive backs, and linebackers. And then I made the play-in guy, and then I have a wild card group of 8. And then I had the 4 play-ins. I put kickers, and that's not to disrespect kickers, but I wanted to get them in there as well. And so I had to narrow down the quarterbacks to 8. And my 8 quarterbacks, and I've gone back and forth on this, Tommy Frazier, Eric Crouch, Jerry Tagge, Scott Frost, Zach Taylor, Turner Gill, Vince Ferragamo and Dave Hum.
Okay. Ferragamo and Hum are, yeah, big time in the 70s.
Yeah, they're from a different time and place, a different kind of offense. So if you wanted to, well, yeah, I had them in there.
No, that makes sense.
And I had a difficult time. I considered Jerry Godowski because he had that great 1 year. If he would have redshirted, as Tom Osborne, really had encouraged him to redshirt, and he wasn't interested in redshirting. So his senior year, straight through fourth year in the program, he was a conference offensive player of the year. And I think, and I'm saying this off the top of my head, I might be wrong about this, he threw something like 19 touchdown passes or 17, somewhere
in
there.
He had 19 touchdowns and two picks.
And two interceptions.
Yep.
And he almost, he came close. He was over 900 yards rushing. He was almost the first Nebraska quarterback to rush for 1,000 yards and throw for 1,000 yards in one season. And you know, had he had those 2 years, because he wasn't going to unseat Steve Taylor.
Nope.
I just realized that I didn't have Steve Taylor on that list. So I would replace, I probably would have Taylor on there and not Vince Ferragamo.
Okay.
Because I definitely think Steve Taylor belongs on there.
Well, All-American, and he was a Big 8 champ. You know, absolutely. Godowski, yeah, I think Keithan had a really good year in 91. He was kind of co-offense to Keith McCann, I'm talking about. But if you would have had Jerry in 90, think about Godowski with the 1990 team. As good as that defense was, Godowski played the Buffs that year, went and played for the national championship, and Nebraska almost won out in Boulder. The following year, you know what happened. They cranked out like 27 points or whatever in the fourth quarter, and Nebraska, with Joseph at quarterback, the same year he got hurt down in Oklahoma, just didn't have it like they did. They weren't as diverse, in my opinion, offensively with post-Godowski at quarterback until they got Tommy in there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think Keith McCann was 91. Am I right on that?
Yep.
And the interesting thing about him was that he just kind of went along, and then all of a sudden, he just blossomed. He threw for about 1,500 yards or 1,400 yards or something. He had a remarkable senior season as well. But he really hadn't shown that kind of focus until his senior year. And then he really had an outstanding senior year. But you're right. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened if Godowski had that additional year. But, you know, Steve Taylor, that's the thing that I look at as well, is that you look at the development of the quarterback that led to the national championships, and it kind of went through Turner Gill and Steve Taylor, and those guys were really important, I think, in the national championship run that Osborne had at the end of his time as head coach, because of the way that quarterback developed, and those two guys, Turner and Steve Taylor, were essential to that. The other thing about Steve Taylor that would put him in the conversation, I think, this is kind of my opinion, but I think it's been supported by some other people. When Steve Taylor and Broderick Thomas and Leroy Etienne, your guy, 8-9-10,
yep,
came to Nebraska in that 85 recruiting class, up to that point, you know, Tom always took the position, hey, control what you can control, which is to win the Big 8. You can't control the national championship, so don't focus on that. Focus on what you can control. You can control winning the Big 8, and you can get to a bowl game. And it could be a good bowl game. And it was usually the Orange Bowl, or certainly one of the Big Four at that time. With Steve Taylor and Broderick Thomas and Leroy Etienne, that class that came in, those guys started talking about the plan for national championship. And I think Tom was a little uncomfortable with that initially, but I always felt like in order to play for a national championship and be national champions, you had to talk about it. That had to be a goal. Whether you could control it or not, that had to be a goal. And Steve and Broderick and Leroy were sort of set that tone. They kind of reflected that attitude that, hey, we're here to play for a national championship. Now, they didn't get there, but I think that they contributed to it because of that willingness to talk about it. And certainly that's one of the things that Broderick distinguished himself. He never was short of having confidence and talking about things, certainly. But Steve Taylor was the same way on offense. He's a very confident guy, and he was willing to talk about wanting to play for a national championship.
Babbers, we got to get this thing bracketized, and we'll put together some of the play-in names. Got to get Kenny Walker in there, too. He's a guy that didn't make my field of 64. We need to expand the field with some play-in games. Jay has said that, listen, he should maybe be an 11-seed play-in. I left Vandenbosch off the list. Not intentionally, just, I mean, there's so many good defensive linemen that Nebraska's had. And again, I'm going from 70 to present day. I need to do a little better work on this before we actually put a bracket out, don't you think?
Well, yeah, if you're only going to go from 70 to present day, but listen, here's my defensive lineman. And one of the things that I have a problem with is, where you're putting guys like Broderick Thomas. I mean, he was an outside linebacker.
Sure.
He was adamant about that.
And he wasn't. Yeah, so do I. I have him with a linebacker, too. I don't have him as a lineman, but I do have Trev as a D lineman. So is that...
Okay, I've got Trev as a linebacker. Okay. Here's my defensive line. Here's my eight guys. And I had a heck of a time with this thing.
Yeah.
Grant Wistrom, Ndamukong Suh, Jason Peter, Rich Glover, Larry Jacobson, Danny Noonan, Wayne Malin, and Willie Harper. And Willie Harper is one of the most overlooked guys. He was a two-time All-American playing on teams that had Johnny Rogers and Rich Glover. Now, talk about national attention for awards. Here's a guy that was two-time All-American playing with those two guys.
Yeah.
Willie Harper was an outstanding guy. I think he has to be on that defensive line group. So if I've got him there, think about all the guys I don't have on that list.
We're going to expand this thing to 72 minimum, right?
We don't have Jim Scow in there. We don't have Jimmy Williams in there. We don't have I don't have Jared Tomich. I don't have Neil Smith.
Wow, I forgot Neil.
I don't have Kenny Walker.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the defensive linemen just alone. And it runs into the same running backs. I had the same problem. I mean, my teams, I don't have Roger Craig on there. I don't have Rex Burkhead in there. I don't have Joel Nakovica in there. And yet I think that it's a pretty representative group. That's the thing that you understand with Nebraska. The great players have been here. Offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Think about the tremendous offensive linemen. The centers, you could probably put eight centers alone. Eight centers have probably earned All-America recognition.
Yeah, I think.
Is that right?
No, I think you could. I think you could absolutely do it. Babbers, we'll put our heads together and come up with a play-in field, a seeding, and we'll move forward with this Hail Varsity bracket.
Yeah. It's easier said than done. We'll say that we'll do that.
I'll put the coffee on. We'll get it handled. I got about 30 seconds. Husker baseball, do you think they bounce back?
Well, And the thing that's difficult to understand is Chad Lensman has not pitched well his last couple times out, and I don't know where that – you figure he comes in a situation where he's got a 6-4 lead. It's money in the bank.
Yep.
And he has a hard time. He has a couple of balks. He walks three guys. He gives up four hits. Gets charged with four runs, and the Huskers don't win a game that I thought they got the 6-4 lead they had it.
Babbers, we'll catch up next week. Awesome to talk. Thank you so much.
Good talking to you.
Mike Babcock with us on Hail Varsity.
subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Okay, we'll get that bracket knocked out eventually. Don't forget your chance at the 125K Moneyball coming up at 5 o'clock. You hear that key word, text 77000. Your chance at $1,000 coming up at 5 o'clock. Also at Yowie's tomorrow and Friday, March to Prize Madness. What can you qualify for there? 55-inch LG Smart TV barbecue for a year from Oklahoma Joe's. Those are just incredible prizes. Tosh tickets, Monster Jam tickets, Larry the Cable Guy tickets, single barrel gift cards. Of course, the garage door opener from Overhead Door, $100 Slim Chickens gift card, gear from Bud Light. Bud Light specials, $2.99, draws all tournament long, $16 Bud Light, 16-ounce buckets, and TVs for you to watch and enjoy. March to Prize Madness, Yowie's 8th and Q. In the Haymarket, come find us, say hi. We are down there tomorrow and Friday. Okay, let's talk quarterbacks for a minute, and we'll get into recruiting with Aaron Sorensen in about 30 minutes, 40 minutes or so from now. And listen, there are some names out there for Nebraska in the 18 cycle. Yankoff from Idaho, Tanner McKee. And both kids are getting looks from major programs, but Nebraska, shock, shock, right, was in early on these kids for offers, and they've had contact with them. They've visited, okay, especially Yankoff not that long ago. So he's kind of a Washington guy, Cal guy, TCU, and then Nebraska. It looks like Washington's there now. McKee's your pro-style dude, Jay Bird and Teej, and it looks like Bama's in on him. Nebraska will be fine at quarterback, but I like this from Riley and Langsdorf, where when they're looking at future quarterbacks, because you always got to take one a class. Mm-hmm. You just got to have that cupboard, because the cupboard looks awesome right now. Whoever wins the job for 17. If it's Lee, you got another year of grooming for POB, mm-hmm. and then Jebby is still waiting in the wings. You have really talented options, okay, to go make plays and be difference makers. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll get into reasons why Nebraska can win the Big Ten. Quarterbacks won, maybe. You look at the quarterbacks here, though. Nebraska is not limiting themselves. Mistake or great idea with the style of quarterback they're going after?
No, I don't. No, a good idea to me. I don't ever like to pigeonhole yourself mm-hmm. into one. Like, B, I think this opens up their eyes to what could potentially an offense can become. If you have a guy with mobility and can spin it and throw it and complete passes and be smart with the football, I think that's – I mean, I look at one guy that's been very popular in the news because he's not getting signed right now, but Colin Kaepernick, how he was – in that Super Bowl year when Alex Smith got hurt and he comes
pistol.
In. Yes, and the pistol and how he's able to, because the way you're able to use him in the run game. And the dude can sling it now. He got paid, and I don't know what happened. I mean, he just got kind of his mind went somewhere else. But you have a guy like that. I know Colin Kaepernick is very, he's one of a kind now. There's not too many guys out there that can run and throw like him. But you find guys like that, man. It's, you give defenses an absolute nightmare. You don't know what to do because you're scared to death of him running it, the zone read game, the different styles. But then all of a sudden you're like, but he also, if we load up, he's just going to pick us apart, you know? So it just makes it more difficult. But I like it just because you're expanding your vision a little bit. You're being, you know, you're opening up to your options. I like that. I don't, you know, you're not being too stubborn. You're saying, hey, if we can get this guy and he's very talented and he can fit into what we want, great. If not, and we can go get this guy who's more of a pro style, perfect, because we've dealt with those guys, but we also dealt with guys who can run it now. So I think maybe if they don't have Tommy and those few years with Tommy, they're probably not even looking this way.
They're not even expanding their horizons because this is what they know.
Exactly. But now I think this, they're like, oh, we have a better grasp. We have a better understanding of what we can do, how it can work. And I like it. I think this can only help Coach Wiley, Coach Langsdorf, and the offense going forward to have different guys that can do different things.
Well, and look, you know, we played Saban for you to start the show off, that first segment, and he doesn't like to be pigeonholed, titled, kind of, there's no declaration. Listen, Jalen Hurts is different than any quarterback Bama's ever had, and it gave them the ability to be dynamic on offense. Mm-hmm. The Kelly kid for Ole Miss could run enough. Watson at Clemson got you to the party and then won the championship with his legs and arms. Here's my eternal question for head coaches and offensive coordinators that want that mesh point, no pun intended, with the zone read, that mesh point of dual threat. Can you find guys that are runners first? And I believe Hurts is a runner first.
Mm-hmm, I would agree.
Just from a Bama example, Taylor Martinez, runner first. Tommy Armstrong, well, he played in a pro style and he also ran whatever they wanted. So Tommy was probably was a little more polished based on running the pro style for his junior year. Do you go find a guy that is a runner first? And do you believe, heart of hearts, damn it, I can develop him into a thrower that actually can go through progressions? Because a lot of times that run first guy in a spread option, in a zone read offense in high school, you're not messing with progressions. You're going after one or two targets. It's quick, mm-hmm. or it's signaled in from the sideline, and then you're it's, there's more importance on making the right zone read versus the throw.
I would agree.
Okay, so can you find that sweet spot where you're going after a thrower first, but the guys like Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck mobility-wise? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the Yankoff kid out of Idaho is, he can throw it, but man, he's just super athletic, and he's like, I don't like to compare him to Russell Wilson, but look what Russell Wilson's done in the NFL with the zone read game.
Without a doubt, elusive. I mean, you don't have to be a straight burner. I mean,
7 for 100 yards.
I mean, Kaepernick could fly. Like
he had the speed, he had the breakaway.
Right. You don't need that. I mean, Russell Wilson he's not a burner, but he has elusiveness that he's slippery. He can just. He makes it work. Mm-hmm. You don't need the Taylor Martinez type speed. You know,
everyone's fast in the NFL, right. Home run threat.
Right. You don't need that. You just need a guy that it's a threat. You have to have that threat. You don't have to have the home run threat, but a threat that, you know what, if you don't contain him in the pocket, he's going to run for 10 or 15. You know, and
awful times.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I think, and again, I think they, if I'm guessing, I mean, they're going to want that pro style, because I mean, it's what you're comfortable with, you know, are you a Bud Light or a Coors Light guy? Well, you know what, if you don't have an option, yeah, I'll take the Bud Light.
You're a beer guy,
right? But you know, if you have the option, yeah, I'm going to take my Coors Light, you know, because I'm not a big Bud Light fan. So you're going to take what you can get if that's the option, because you're not going to be in everyone's living room, every pro style, every you know. Multi, you know, talented quarterback. Can't think of the right name right now. But
right now, you have the ability to adapt to the talent that's interested in you as a coordinator, as an offense. We'll wind down hour one next.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at JMore44, and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Usually to the Wilderness Rich Golf segment. Chewy is down in Zona, maybe Mexico now, with Husker Golf. They're doing awesome, good for them. WildernessRichGolf.com is where you log on and find out about the membership benefits, membership pricing this spring. It's going to be nice by the end of the week here in eastern Nebraska. If you're out in central or western Nebraska and you're making a trip to Lincoln, think about Wilderness Ridge. And bring the clubs with you, or just take the family for brunch on a weekend, Sunday or just sit out on the deck. You'll love it. Go see Chris Thompson or our dear friend Mike Schuhart, Director of Instruction, WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Okay, can Nebraska win the Big Ten in football? Yes. We'll tell you why in about 10 minutes. Reasons for Nebraska to get that W. It'd be bigger than just like the regular Cub flag W. Not the Cubs win in the series, but I mean, you're going on drought here that keeps... You're going in reverse order.
Bone dry.
It's bone dry. You're Harry and Lloyd going the wrong direction. The longer you wait for a conference championship.
John Denver's full of.
Yes, he is. Well, I'm sweating. I'm wearing two gloves. Yeah. It's the Rockies.
Yeah.
We need more Dumb and Dumber drops.
Yeah.
Just randomly. Can we work on that?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Okay. And 30 minutes away, Aaron Sorensen will join us. Recruiting update when it comes to visitors for the spring game. Your chance at $1,000 with $125K money ball. Also in about 5 minutes. Listen for that keyword. You text 77000. Okay, Bird, we talked about quarterbacks and what's needed. And Nebraska's open to whatever style you like, meaning they're interested if you're a dual-threat guy. They're interested if you're a pro-style guy. That's pretty good. When guys get back next week, I found this interesting. Keith Williams was talking, might have been to the Journal Star, regarding chemistry, wideout chemistry, quarterback chemistry. And he's like, paraphrasing, overrated. Catch the ball. Did you have to have chemistry with – was there a chemistry with guys on the line?
Oh, for sure. On the D-line?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It always things – because
other than loud grunting and going to hurt the quarterback.
Yeah. Without a doubt. If you – you know, I was always playing next to, like, Barry Cryer.
Mm-hmm.
So if Ty Seinkuhler came in there, it just wasn't – I mean, you still did your thing, but it just wasn't quite the same, you know. You had to – because I was used to always, you know, with the one reps, you're always with Barry. And I never took a whole lot of reps with Ty. So a lot of times our communication, how we played off of each other, the feel. I mean, there's always a feel you have. And it's just not – I mean, I get it. Yeah, don't make excuses. There's no chemistry. I get that. And, yeah, catch the ball. I understand that. But I still think absolutely there's something to it,
man. Take some time.
There's something to it, absolutely. Because you're – I mean, if it – you have to develop that, I think. It's just part of the process. And also, you throw a different, you know, new wrinkle in there. I mean, why do you think, I mean, if it was that easy, why do teams struggle so much with the backup quarterback?
Or starting, absolutely. All right, a quick timeout. Your chance next hour at a HailVarsity.com subscription. 5 reasons Nebraska can win it next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing. Aaron Sorensen's 20 minutes away. She'll break down some recruits. It'll be in April 15th for you in 20 minutes. A jock doc coming up on Cam Newton's rotator cuff. But let's find out if you think Nebraska can win the Big Ten championship in football. Why talk about it now? Everyone's at recess. You're a day away from the Sweet 16. We've kind of gone full effect, full court press the last show and a half on the Hail Varsity field of 64 Huskers. So let's talk about what's going on in spring and how it can apply to the fall. No time like spring break to discuss it. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Can also tweet at us at Hail Varsity at Schmidt_radio. at JMoore44 or at TJ underscore Henning. First and foremost, it's a simple yes or no. Quick knee-jerk reaction, gut response is what? Can Nebraska win the Big Ten? Yes. Any team can win a championship. You're not barred from doing so. Minnesota's not barred from doing so. Iowa's not barred from doing so. Northwestern's not barred from doing so. And obviously Ohio State feels it's their birthright to do so. That's just what it is. Now, what's likely? Does that mean, you know, watch out for watch out for Wake Forest. They're better. Watch out for who's bad in the Big 12. Kansas. Watch out for Kansas. Can Kansas win a Big Ten championship? Well, hell no. They're not in the league. Can they win a Big 12 in basketball? Yeah, they do.
What about Purdue?
Purdue in football. They run a 3-4, and they have a good quarterback. Things can get funky. 7-5 could do it. What am I betting on? What do I believe? No, Purdue can't. Do I believe Nebraska next year? It would take one mother of a special season. But it's doable. Now, ESPN.com has their off-season college football guys going at it. Mitch Sherman does stuff, and you know, we catch up with him. And they have some reasons out there for why Michigan will win the Big Ten, why Ohio State will win the Big Ten. I've seen nothing on Nebraska. I kind of put my head down and said, all right, if it were to happen, here's how it could happen. Why do people think Ohio State can win? Talent level, quarterbacks, Barrett. Kevin Wilson is a sweet addition. Their front seven is phenomenal. Raekwon's the only guy they replace in that front seven. I might add they replace three of their four in the secondary. And then you have Urban Meyer, big game coach. Every time he's been beaten in a bowl game, he's come back and won a national championship, at least at Florida and at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So there's the Ohio State reasoning. For Michigan, well, I mean, they have a quarterback. They get a chance to host Ohio State. And this is the year. This is kind of your put-up year. It's year three for the Harbaugh phenomena. Khakis and whole milk and steaks and peanuts. And your quarterback is not great, but he's good. This is when your recruits translate to on the field. You inherited a sweet setup recruit-wise from Fat Man in the Little Coat. And you did well with them. Now, Penn State is kind of the league favorite. You have the league's best player, Barkley at IBAC. McSorley's maybe your best quarterback in the league. You have the talent level that continues to improve. You lose one guy on the defensive line. Your secondary is really good. And you got teased. You had that Rose Bowl. The SC just outdueled you in a score fest. So you want some satisfaction. You want some payback. Get some hunger. Which leads us to Nebraska. Five reasons Nebraska can win the Big Ten. One, offensive balance. You hear about it. Do you see it? On Saturday, give me a right down the middle. You average 550 on offense. You average 550 yards on offense. It's a ginormous number, even for today's offensive outputs. But that means you're cranking out two bills in the air, two bills on the ground. Bird, if they're doing whatever the hell they want on offense, pretty tough to stop, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're running it on you. You're mad about that. If they're throwing it on you, you're correct. Not getting home.
Yeah, it's...
No, it's no bueno.
No. 6-1, half a dozen the other.
So the O-line makes strides, and they find some guys that can run block. They have some. And then they get better at pass protection. Kind of goes into that help the offensive line mentality with the offensive play calling. But if you're not balanced, you're going to lose a couple of games. You just are. Quarterback play. Whoever wins the starting spot is for real. What has killed most teams in college football, push comes to shove, biggest game of the year has been quarterback play. Nebraska has a chance to have a difference maker, not only as a decision maker at quarterback, do I throw it away, do I throw it deep, do I check it down, but also a guy who can make plays. Well, he'll find DPE on that slant, or he'll find Hoppus up the seam. Look, I'm already telling you Hoppus is going to Going to have a big senior year. Home schedule. Can we high five everybody? You finally get a home schedule that is great all year long.
Makes up for last year.
Yeah, you had Oregon.
Yeah.
You get Ohio State. You get Wisconsin. You get Iowa. You get Northwestern. Probably leaving somebody out, but I don't think so. You're at Penn State. You're at Illinois on a Friday night. I didn't do that to you. And you're at Oregon. Your home schedule sets up to maybe provide some confidence against those teams you have not beaten. You haven't. Diaco effect is reason number four Nebraska can win the Big Ten. Listen, I'm playing along here. I'm putting reasons down why it can happen. That 3-4 comes together, speed, athleticism, and they do what they're supposed to do. That's limit big plays and get takeaways.
I think, in my opinion, the Diaco effect would be my number one for this. Just because his energy and...
You were around that first year Bo came in.
Yeah.
In 03.
It's very effective. It can spread very quickly, but I also...
Can it raise your level?
Without a doubt. He can... I mean, he preaches a very physical brand of football. He's getting them into different drills. We're talking old school Oklahoma drills. With him being here, he wants these guys. He's going to make this team become more physical. Yeah, he's going to make his defenses become more physical. But that's turns around, make the O-line a lot more physical as well. But that's going to, I think that to me, because I know the 3-4 is going to take a little bit of time. But I think
it takes about half a year, best case scenario.
I would agree. But with his physicalness and that energy, to me, without a doubt. The O-line needs to be more physical. The D-line needs to be more physical. You just got to get after people
some
a little
energy.
More. Yes,
I mean, energy is what is needed.
You have to have that juice. He brings that. To me, that's, for me, why they could win the Big Ten next year. That's number one.
See, I put down number five here for reasons Nebraska can win the Big Ten. The other one I have here is the East. Ohio State's got to reload. Michigan really, really has to reload. And they lost 17 starters. And then Penn State, timing. You get Penn State second to last game of the year. If you were to rematch them, to me, it's been tougher to, on a quick turnaround, just go beat somebody again you just played and beat. It just works out that way. I think those are pretty sound. If Nebraska is to put a run together for the title, I think it's going to be the offense and that O-line where you're balanced that gives you reason to go beat some of those teams. Just because I think the defense is going to need to be carried by the offense based
That's
on
fair.
This transition.
Yeah.
And then the trickle down here is, okay, if you got offensive balance, that kind of means you're running the ball okay. Two, it means your quarterback can hand off a few times if he wants, so it's not all on him. Am I crazy? Does it make sense? Five reasons why they can do it?
No, I mean, it makes complete sense. I think taking care of you want to talk about offensive balance, but as well, offense taking care of the defense early on in the year until they get more comfortable in that 3-4 scheme. It's just, again, being efficient with the football, taking care of the football. Turnover margin. I know
get
some, we improved.
Get some special teams,
I know
too,
exactly.
Short fields,
that's
right?
That's the biggest thing is too. I mean, that's honestly we always forget about that because obviously the Diaco changed with the quarterback. But you don't have this one guy for special teams. They hired the new guy in from Notre Dame to be a special teams consultant. I get that
consultant
air quotes.
The guy is TJ and I are going through this yesterday. The guy's recruited 12 4-star safeties.
Yes, yeah.
He's a consultant.
Yeah.
I like consultants like that.
Exactly, but now these are spread out. I mean, you got Diaco coaching punters. For crying out loud, but the effect that's going to make, I think you get, I mean, special teams are so, especially in college football, they are game-changing plays, momentum-changing plays. A block punt, a kickoff return for a touchdown, or a punt return for a touchdown can flip the way a game is going. You saw it a couple years ago at Michigan State that we looked dead in the water. All of a sudden, DP returns one. We're right back in the ball game. We actually have a chance. And I had never thought we'd ever have a chance in that one. After watching that first half, but it's just that the special teams can be. Oh man, you got to have them. You got to absolutely have them. You cannot overlook them. You cannot they got to be an absolute plus for you. And if they can increase the productivity out of that, that's another one just to add to reasons why Nebraska can win the Big Ten.
You know, this is a discussion I started, HailVarsity.com, the premium message board. Vogel chimed in here, too, as to a factor in with a championship run. This is good. You have the luck, the bounce of the ball factor. Penn State a year ago was 4-1 in one score games.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think the team is. Where's this team at right now, mentally, within the leadership framework, and from a response standpoint? If you do fail, mm-hmm. how do you come back if you get beat up and it wasn't good last year.
No, it was obviously the Wisconsin game.
When you got the AK, mm-hmm. and when you got destroyed by a bigger, stronger, faster team in Ohio State, the rest spiral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, bringing up Penn State, you want to talk about special teams, field goal block against Ohio State, get the perfect bounce up in the guy's hand for a touchdown.
And and then he hit the field goal.
Right. I mean, those are...
Changed their season, yeah. changed their life, changed how they are looked at in 17.
It changed Franklin's. I mean, people weren't, people were still kind of hesitant
people
on Franklin.
People were peeing at him and going 2-2.
Right.
You barely beat Temple and you got beat by Pitt. No good.
Mm-hmm. You got to have him.
Now he's the man.
He's the man. He was the guy that they thought he was going
to
be.
Well, he's supposed to be.
Right.
You know, I like this. Another example, too. Look at how good Texas was with... Colt McCoy was pretty good as a freshman. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went 10-3, but he wasn't his fault. He's 70% completion guy.
Right.
So, I mean, you have that first-year quarterback ability. Can you hit it right? And, you know, not to completely rehash yesterday, TJ, too, but the year of 08 comes to my mind a lot. Transition defensively. And this is Bo's first year. Mm-hmm. But what your offense could do for you when it was still kind of a throw and pro style with Gansey at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the year, your defense came together and you had one awesome setup. Mm-hmm. It's been way too long since you've had a killer at quarterback and a really good defense.
It's been a minute. It's been a guy that you can just – that's taken over at QB, that you feel comfortable that he can –
He ain't going to hose you?
Well, he's
you don't got to carry him?
He can make the right throws.
Yeah,
or make those right decisions, I guess, and understand and go through progression. I mean, it has been since Gans.
Zach. Well, Gans and
Zach.
Taylor.
You know, it's been since those guys. You feel comfortable that okay, yeah. No, it's perfect. They're going to throw picks, and that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But make the high percentage throw, make the right throw, making the throws to where only your guy can catch it. You know, and making the easy throw when it's available, not the very, very low percentage, the go for broke shot every time that works, once a game.
But works against Sparty.
That too.
All right. Caller 6 right now, a 6-month online subscription for you, HailVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience. Unparalleled coverage, football, baseball, basketball, volleyball. Yes, recruiting. We'll have Aaron Sorensen on next with recruiting, but premium content, that's for the subscribers. Try it out. Check it out. The message board community, in-depth recruiting analysis, inside info, and breaking news. Caller 6 right now, a 6-month online subscription yours to HailVarsity.com, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 6 now, a 6-month online subscription yours to HailVarsity.com. Come check it out. Come be a part of it with us. We're talking about reasons why Nebraska can win the Big Ten championship. Are they excluded, in your opinion? Don't talk to me about that. Or do you think, hey, you're telling me there's a chance?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Caller 6 now, 466-377-6800-825-5865 for that HailVarsity.com 6-month online subscription. We'll get caught up with Aaron Sorensen shortly. A Jock Doc on the way. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. As Hail Varsity continues on, caller 6 now, 466-377-6800-825-5865 to HailVarsity.com. A quick timeout, Aaron Sorensen next.
For former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Don't forget tomorrow, Yowie's March to Prize Madness continues. We're down at Yowie's 8th and Q. 3 to 6, getting you ready for the Sweet 16. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Jay Moore. Welcome in with HailVarsity.com and Magazine and .com. How about Aaron Sorensen, at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. Aaron, how have you been?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing all right. It's an exciting time of year with the madness. I'm waiting for spring football to get cranked back up, although the break is okay.
Yes.
I'm not...
Yes, it feels really quiet right now because baseball is away, football is on break. There's just... I'm like... Any news that comes in my inbox, it can be about just about anything. I'm like, yes, sports.
and Nebraska football related, absolutely. And you've been doing some great research as the spring game's just around the corner in Nebraska. I mean, they never stop or sleep with recruiting. And I tell you what, give us kind of a sneak peek, if you don't mind, with some of the visitors coming up. Of course, Hail Varsity Premium. You can see all of the inside info Aaron Sorensen's able to gather. But looks like a lot of four stars, Aaron.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a really star-studded spring game, especially when you look at the stars that are assigned to some of these kids. And I mean, if you are on HailVarsity Premium, for those that are listening, I've been updating this list as we get information. So if somebody, you know, decides now, that list is going to get updated. So it is a living, breathing thing. And the one couple of areas is wide receiver looks like it's going to be a big area, just kind of like as we've been saying it would be this spring, getting some of those guys on campus. And when you look at the list, when you see some of those athletes, they'll likely play wide receiver for Nebraska. We just report them as what they are being recruited at this time. So just to clarify for anyone, if Nebraska hasn't yet made it clear, we put them as athletes. But regardless, there's just a lot of wide receiver options. Running back looks good. They're definitely getting quite a few defensive end, defensive tackles in. And like you said, there's a lot of four stars to this group. And that includes Joshua and Jordan Moore, who this is one of my favorite tweets of the last day. Joshua Moore actually tweeted a really cool image of an N with some corn emojis on Twitter. So maybe that means something, or maybe it just means he's excited about his visit. We'll find out soon enough.
Aaron Sorensen with us, HailVarsity.com magazine. And Aaron, we're talking about the spring visitor list. And let's focus on running back for a minute, because you've got three guys competing in the spring right now for the starting tailback, starting I-back spot. But what type of style of back for future years do you think Coach Riley, Coach Langsdorf, and Coach Davis want?
You know, that's a great question. And you look at some of these guys that are coming in, and what's so hard about the running back position is, in fullback, is Riley has made it clear that they want the running game to be a part of the overall strategy, even though that definitely when you look at the quarterbacks that they have brought onto campus and are recruiting, pass is definitely going to be a major focus. But it looks like they're looking for, I mean, I'm just taking a quick look. You've got TJ Pledger. He's 5'9", 185. I think I just looked at Mike Hale, and he's 5'11", 190. It looks like there's some of these, they almost, I guess, Graham Roberts, he hits the six-foot marker. But I was going to say, it feels like some of these guys are those, have the potential to be those little, not that 5'11 is little, but they just have that opportunity to be these workhorses where they can just power through a defensive line, especially if Nebraska's offensive line is strong. So looking at some of these guys, it feels like they're meant to be nice supplements to the passing game.
Okay.
Because even though we say run the ball, you look at the type of offense Riley and Langsdorf run, and they definitely like to pass heavy, so they should be really good, efficient, just really efficient running backs when needed to kind of help spread that defense out when Nebraska is inevitably going to run the ball a lot, or I mean, throw the ball a lot. Mm-hmm.
They got to be quick in space, kind of like a Quiz Rogers. And if they're going to be the battering ram back, they got to be Steven Jackson. That's kind of the body type I envision them wanting as they move forward, a tailback. Let's talk Pledger, though. 4-star, high profile. The world wants him to carry the football. And Nebraska is going to get him on campus for the spring game.
Yeah, and if anybody missed, yesterday he tweeted something about Radley Hiles calling him the recruiter of the year. And now we've kind of started to figure this out, that Bookie is basically becoming the either Tristan Jebbia or Keyshawn Jr. of this class. It makes sense. He's a Calabasas kid. Even though he's at IMG, he's sort of filling those shoes of what the Calabasas kids do, which is recruit. And, I mean, Bookie's got so many ties from guys already on campus like Tyjon Lindsey to now TJ Pledger. It just feels like he is really putting the full court press on his IMG teammates. And so I wouldn't even be surprised by the time the spring game rolls around if he doesn't get a few more guys to come visit with him. Because, like I said, as TJ put it, Bookie is the recruiter of the year. So, hey, he might just pull this out for Nebraska and help get some of these really coveted recruits.
You almost need a ringleader each year to either help seal the deal or at least get that first step through the door to happen, and it's a peer that'll do it, like Keyshawn a year ago, and even before his senior season, he'd been visiting Nebraska plenty of times since his sophomore year, and you got Radley Hiles is doing the same thing. That is such a key for Nebraska. Let's switch gears from Bookie to some of the offensive line targets. You got Antoine Reed, Bleich, and then you got Little Farniok. And Bleich, he's a Penn State kid. How's the O-line class looking that's going to be here for the spring game?
I mean, so far so good. I think, you know, it's really clear that they want Will Farniok. And he's got that tied in Nebraska, but they're still trying to sell him on it. But the one thing I will say about Farniak that's something to keep an eye on, he's actually also coming April 8th, and then will be coming the next week for the spring game on April 15th. And part of that is because he has his brother there, and he wants to see his brother. But I wouldn't say that it's also not because he doesn't just enjoy being around the team. When I got to talk to him, and his interview is up on the website now, if you just go into our recruiting coverage, is he really, really likes Coach Kavanaugh. And that's something where, you know, if that's a sort of added benefit. He's coming to see his brother. He also gets to see his coach and continue to see how that offensive line evolves and how he fits. So I think that's good to have him. Now, again, getting guys that are committed elsewhere, like Bleich, I always say his name wrong. Bleich. Is it Bleich? Bleich?
We're just going to go with whatever feels good.
I know. He's one where I want to ask him. And I have no shame because people have said my last name wrong. So I have no shame asking these kids how they prefer their name to be said.
Who messed your name up?
I've gotten Sorensen before, which is just sort of amazing. I don't even correct it because it's just so entertaining. But, like, that was how I asked Tristan Jebbia, because I had heard people say Gebbia, and I asked him, and he goes, oh, I've heard it both ways.
So which is it?
What way do you want it to be? when you get a kid who's committed elsewhere, like to Penn State, but wants to come visit your school, that may amount to something. But even if it doesn't, I mean, you then now have these built-in, you've got these kids who are now going to say great things about you because they are going to come, they're going to have a good time, and maybe they don't end up at Nebraska, but they're going to go tell their friends about, you know, hey, I had a really good time, and maybe that brings another kid to campus. So there's a lot of opportunities here, and, you know, he's been committed to Penn State for almost a year now. Maybe he's just decided he wants to keep looking. These kids are, what, 17, 18? Mm-hmm. That's pretty fickle.
Aaron Sorensen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, and at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter. We're talking recruiting. We're talking visit list. A full in-depth visit list can be seen on HailVarsity.com. Premium, but a 30-day sign up for you if you want to check it out. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Defensive ends and defensive tackle. You have Walker and Thompson, and then Maypew, who is already committed to Nebraska. That looks good. Defensive end wise, though, it sounds like there'll be some big time guys potentially on campus for the spring game. Is that accurate?
Yes, and they have great names. Like, I just really challenge some people to find a better name than Judge Culpepper, Draco Bynum. Obviously, Jalen Redmond is not as exciting, but I just love you've got a
Jalen's a good name, though.
It is a good name. I'm just saying it's just when you look at the other two, he definitely doesn't have the most unique. But, yeah, I mean, it's looking like a pretty good group. Jalen's a four-star. Judge and Draco are both three-stars. They've got size. I mean, Jalen is 6'4", 233. Draco is 6'5", 255. I mean, these guys are big, big kids, and that's exactly what they're going to need for both the defensive end and the tackle position going forward in the 3-4. So I think, you know, they're getting the right kind of guys on campus, and this should bode well as they're starting to evolve that defense into the new 3-4.
Aaron, lastly, what's your take? Your couple minutes left. What's your take on the flexibility with the style of quarterback Nebraska's bringing in? You have pro style, obviously, that are here now. You have options for dual threat guys. What's your read? What's your take?
You know, I think the history says that Riley and Langsdorf want that West Coast style quarterback that is a pass first kind of guy. Listening to Riley, he's definitely open to the idea of recruiting some more dual threats who can be a threat both on the ground and in the air. It'll be interesting to kind of see how this plays out, especially as they're looking at guys for 2018 and 2019. I think once they get a commitment for I think you're going to kind of get a better idea of what they're looking for once they get a quarterback commitment for the 2018 class. Right now it feels like they're kind of casting a wide net, mm-hmm. and we'll see what that ends up looking like. But I think whoever ultimately commits for the 2018 class will give us a good idea of kind of what that future looks like at that position.
Aaron Sorensen. Aaron, we'll catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes, and great work as always on HailVarsity.com. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. And hey, we're almost over spring break. And then it'll be right back to football. And I can't wait.
We'll talk tackling and running. We'll do it. Take care.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's Aaron Sorensen. There's your recruiting rundown. Going to be an awesome spring game. Why? Because weather and football, yes. But so many big-time recruits. Pure-grown diamonds exclusively with your friends at Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick today, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, Rod West and Grand Island. Pure-grown diamonds, eco-friendly, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Some of the best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. This pure-grown diamond, SauterHeyman.com.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Brandon Seifert back with us. Dr. Brandon, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right, man. Getting ready for the Sweet 16, and I tell you, it is still football season, though. The off season brings up a lot of news and notes, and Cam Newton going into a year removed from a Super Bowl. Man, has all the talent in the world. Now he's got to do some rehab work. He has a partially torn rotator cuff. Dr. Brandon, let's spend a little bit of time on Cam, and let's talk rotator cuff.
Yeah, you know, so for him, he's been doing some rehab. I think it was week 14, I think, where he actually injured his shoulder, played throughout the season, obviously did a bunch of rehab, you know, postseason, didn't think they needed to operate on him, at least initially. So he's been rehabbing well. I think he had gotten into kind of the final phase of his rehab program, even, and was really doing well. And then they kind of progressed to kind of a strength throwing program, and that's really what kind of sent him over the edge. Sounds like maybe over the last week or two, pain's been getting much worse, and essentially arrived at the point now where they're talking about doing surgery for him. Of course, the big thing you worry about with him is, you know, will he be ready for training camp and the season with, you know, a big shoulder recovery.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that rotator cuff. You have over the head throwing athletes, I mean, they have rotator wear and tear when it comes to that motion. And do you think this is a result of his profession, i.e. being a, you know, an NFL quarterback, or can you get your rotator cuff messed up just taking as many hits as he's taken?
Yeah, you know, probably a combination. So I would say, you know, hits you've taken, maybe one injury in particular. And then also you think about just repetitive throwing as well. Probably has been a combination for him. You know, you figure at that level, those gentlemen are throwing so much, probably throwing almost as much as a baseball pitcher, getting their timing right, albeit with a different mechanism in terms of their throwing. So, but probably a combination of all three of those. You know, the hard part about dealing with that level of athlete, you know, throwing athlete, is so many of those folks have abnormal MRIs, and so that's the hard part in treating that level of athlete, is to be really careful about, you know, just treating MRI findings. And I think in his situation, you know, probably wise, they probably heeded to that warning, and hence the reason why they probably took him through such a long rehab program. You know, the reason we always get concerned about those type of athletes, your throwing athletes, is anytime you're talking a shoulder surgery on them, the return to play rate for high-level throwing athletes is not as high as we'd like it to be. And oftentimes, really high-level rehab programs will get them better. And so, of course, that's kind of the pathway he was on. Unfortunately, he's kind of arrived at a point now where he's not able to progress, and you're kind of left with the surgery option.
Dr. Brandon Seifer with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Cam Newton and that partially torn rotator cuff. Take me through your end of it. How do you guys go in and fix what ails in that part of the body?
Sure. You know, I think just kind of going back a little bit for that question, you know, the important thing about rotator cuffs is when you think about throwing athletes and shoulder injuries, the two things you worry about are rotator cuff injuries, which are quite uncommon in throwing athletes, versus labral injuries. The labrum is the little kind of rubber gasket that sits around the socket. Those are kind of the two injuries we see in overhead athletes. Again, a much worse prognosis having a rotator cuff injury versus a labral injury. In fact, most labral injuries you can rehab, and they usually do very well. Rotator cuffs on their hand are a little bit dicey. So taking you through that process with him, you know, the best scenario for him would be if they went in and they scoped his shoulder surgery-wise, looked at it, and he had maybe just some small fraying, maybe some scar tissue, and they could clean that up without actually having to do a rotator cuff repair. That probably would give him the best outcome long-term. That would mean, obviously, a very low-grade rotator cuff injury, and again, that would be the best. On the flip side, if you get in there and it's a little bit more higher-grade, more extensive tearing, you know, typically the number we throw out would be upwards of kind of 50% of the tendon thickness. If you're looking at something like that, then you're looking more to repair, much longer recovery, and you think in return to throwing as an athlete, I see they put in there, you know, 3 to 4 months. That's actually very aggressive. Mm-hmm. After a rotator cuff repair in a throwing athlete, you could be looking at somewhere upwards of 5 or 6 months if you really want to rehab them right. So that'd be what you'd be looking at. And essentially, you know, rotator cuff repair, nuts and bolts of something like that. You know, typically just doing arthroscopic surgery now, no big open incisions, just little poke holes for surgery. And you go and you essentially sew that rotator cuff back together arthroscopically with material that essentially stays in there forever. And that's really what that would look like, you know, if he ends up on the repair side, which hopefully for him he won't.
You know, you look at Newton, and when he suffered this injury against the Chargers, Just a rough final 4 weeks for him, with interceptions to touchdown ratio, his completion percentage. When he comes back, if he comes back from this the same or a better Cam Newton, will he have to alter his mechanics, arm angle? Will he have to mess with any of the mechanics? Because Cam, as an athlete, has been so good at using his size when he was in college and then translating that to the NFL. He's so unique. Is he going to be able to stay like he's been?
You know, you would hope that his mechanics would return fairly close to normal. Again, you know, sometimes these are great opportunities to maybe improve upon their mechanics.
Okay.
So I'm sure they'll look at that. But again, you want to get them as close back to that kind of natural throwing mechanism that they had. I think he'll struggle for a while. You know, we'll probably see a different kind of throwing Cam Newton, I think, if he gets back for the season this year. That throwing mechanism is kind of a year-long almost process to kind of get that tweaked back to the level you want it to be. And so that will be interesting to see how that develops over the next year. Again, all depending on what they have to do surgically, whether just clean it out versus repair. You know, could there be a possibility of some loss of velocity? Absolutely. You know, even with just a debridement, that's the thing you always worry about, is maybe potentially a loss of velocity, a little loss of laxity. You know, what we always worry about with these type of athletes, with throwing athletes, is there's a thing called external rotation, which is where you kind of torque your elbow and bend it towards the back. That's what kind of generates all that energy to bring the ball forward, and that's something that's really hard to get back, you know, after surgery as a thrower. And so that'll be something to work very hard with rehab to try to redevelop that. And that would be the one thing that might limit some of his mechanics as well as his velocity. So that'll be a big emphasis for him. It's called external rotation. That'll be a big thing they emphasize post-op.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Cam Newton and his rotator cuff. Was this a precautionary move by the Panthers to get him MRI'd, or was it the pain that probably alerted Cam to have it looked at? What kind of was the red flag for him, do you think?
You know, it sounds like it was a pretty painful injury for him. And so, you know, you would think that that would be kind of the big driver of that, but in the big scheme of things, you know, at that level, at that NFL level, everything gets MRI'd. It's
right.
Amazing. You know, MRI, CT, X-ray, I mean, you're kind of get the full service show as soon as you present to the athletic trainer's office, just with all the investment in those athletes. It's pretty amazing. Probably a gross misuse of imaging for sure. Again, those kind of things can provide, you know, lots of incidental findings that probably don't bother the athlete, but now you have this finding. Athlete has a finding, owners have a finding, agents have a finding, and it really does create quite a bit of headache trying to manage that from the sense of, no, this probably wasn't bothering before, we don't need to fix this. And so it can become a real battle. But in the end, at that level, that ultimately is what's going to happen with every one of those guys. It's just a gross overuse of imaging.
Dr. Brandon, we'll catch up with you again. Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, great, Chris. Take care, buddy.
Former black shirt, Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
One final time on a Wednesday, we invite you down to Yowie's tomorrow. Yowie's Friday, 3 to 6, 8th and Q in the Haymarket, March to Prize Madness. We want to see you down there and enjoy the Sweet 16. Get qualified for a year of barbecue from Oklahoma Joe's. TJ is already acquiring fake ID just so he can sign up. 55-inch LG Smart TV, also Tosh tickets, Larry the Cable Guy, PBA tickets, single barrel gift cards, great food and drink specials at Yowie's too, and the TV setup's incredible. If you haven't been to Yowie's, 8th and Q, come see us. Yowie's Lodge as a Hail Varsity on the road tomorrow and Friday for the Sweet 16 March to Prize Madness. We want to see you down there.
Well, should be, what day is the Billy Joel concert?
A
is
good
that Friday?
Question. Might be Friday, yes. It
so
is.
It could be pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty.
We'll be hopping both days, but Sweet 16. And you got a great slew of games tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. Tomorrow will be great. Game start at a little after 6.
Mm-hmm.
So.
6:09. And so, yeah, get all the food you need and have some of those Bud Light specials. $2.99 draws all tournament long and $16 Bud Light 16 ounce buckets. Happy hour 3 to 6.
Where are you at in Billy Joel?
I was going to say, are you guys Billy Joel guys?
See, when I think of Billy, this is such a wrong take.
It's not like
I think of Billy Joel.
He's good, but I'm not like...
For two reasons, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think of the Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. This is like there's two Billy Joels, apparently.
There's the doo-wop version, and then there's the kind of a 70s, 80s
punk.
Was yeah.
Yeah.
And then he got fat and happy and... Whatever. I mean, like Uptown Girls, kind of the like the first one I remember,
yeah,
like
okay.
when I was a kid. But Piano Man's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
It's sweet.
It's a great song. Yeah, but
I don't know that I'd drop excessive amounts of dollars to go
see him.
Yeah,
it's not cheap to get in that concert.
Okay, I didn't know he did those two songs. The only Billy Joel song I have on my iPod is the "We Didn't Start the Fire."
Sure,
that's the difference.
That's like the reinvention when it started.
Okay, mm-hmm.
I remember seeing that on MTV, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And but the other thing I remember about Billy Joel is him and Christie Brinkley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that guy, Christie Brinkley was also, I mean, she's still great looking. He is not. It's okay.
No, I think she's like on the sports page with her daughters.
She did the swimsuit issue.
Right.
And she's like 62.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I said 62 mm-hmm. years of age, and Jay's like, no. Yeah, it's all good.
Nope.
So I would go see him.
I would, too.
I'd totally go see him. I think he's an incredible performer. And then all the Saturday Night Live DUI, ha, 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 and Billy Joel and I ran into a brick wall at the Hamptons. Good for you, brother. You can afford to live in the Hamptons. But, so I'm, that's a good call. Where am I at on Billy Joel? I would totally go, but I wouldn't drop $175 for me or the wife to go.
Mm-mm.
I'm just, but that's me being cheap.
No, me too, but yeah, I don't.
TJ's like, yeah, it's you being cheap, Schmidt.
Yeah, I don't, not doing it. I couldn't do it either.
Nope. But
a few I'd drop $175
You don't have
on,
to, you can spend what you want.
Exactly.
Or you can spend as little as you want and still have a great time, Yowies. Either pre-Billy Joel and pre-Sweet 16.
Papa Shot's looking me down there?
Yeah. Junior.
Hustling.
He wants me to get him out of school early Friday so he can go down early. I think that will happen. We're going to have that discussion tonight.
Let me know how that
He'll either fake an injury or say it's part of econ. Tomorrow at 4, be at Yowie's.